place for goal and finishes off the PSG victory.
Mendes est lancé, Nuno Mendes ravive, Nuno Mendes passe devant Cuadrado, le tir, oh il est bon celui-là, le but de Nuno Mendes.
You know the football, it is what it is.
Le premier but de Ronald Colomboigny avec le Paris Saint-Germain, à quelle joie.
Hello and welcome to PSG Renewed, the show looking into the better future like Nuno Mendes, who has just had his operation here on my home soil in Finland, also known as the show promising to put at least as much effort in as the team did in Clermont's half stadium days before a big Champions League clash. Good to have you with me. My name is Mikko and PSG Review is done in collaboration with the Parisian Londoner crew, and you can find and follow the show online at PSG Review Pod on Twitter and at PSG Review on Instagram. You can also subscribe to the feed of this show from any podcast platform which you may use, and why not rate and write a short review also, as people have already done on Apple Podcasts. You can also rate the show at least on Spotify as well as on Apple Podcasts, which takes very little time, and perhaps these options exist also on other platforms as well. There are many of them available, but these tend to be the most used, certainly based on what I can see in the statistics. But we're not here talking about that, not at all. We're here to talk about PSG, and we have a lot to cover. We will go through some talking points and quick news in and around Paris Saint-Germain in a moment. We also have a quick look into what's happening with women's team and their surprise changing of the coach days before the big match of the season at Parc des Princes against OL. But before anything, PSG was playing in Clermont just now. I am recording this on Saturday evening, and that's where we start. Before this match, Clermont was at the bottom of the league on table this season with only one draw, and the rest of the matches had been lost, whereas PSG was coming in from a victory in Le Classique and one against Dortmund in Champions League as well. But each match in football is its own thing, and you have to play them one by one. This is something that we learned tonight. It was clear that there will be some rotation in the squad, and that was the case with Manuel Ugarte, Lucas Hernandez and Warren Zaire-Emery starting on the bench. That's a lot of intensity to miss, a lot of pressing and a lot of top shelf mentality. But we did have Donnarumma in goal, back three this time, with Skriniar, Danilo and Marquinhos, who was playing more offensively on the left side, sharing the wing back duties with Barcola pretty much, who was there in attack, but tracking back pretty well also. Then we had Hakimi on the right side and midfield with Vitinha and Fabian Ruiz. Mbappe and Dembele were attacking with Randal Kolo Muani as the striker, which he very much isn't. He's a great forward, but not a striker as such. And I have to say that this was not his best night in PSG, but these things happen. So there were some risks involved in this new strategy, and in all fairness, I wasn't exactly impressed by it, but nonetheless, it's very good that Luis Enrique dares to try things out and not just play safe, because his previous two predecessors were quite shook and always trying to play very safe, which also resulted in not the most exciting football you can have. Despite a pretty bad start for this season, Clermont isn't the side to approach with arrogance, because they beat our previous reincarnation at Parc des Princes on the last match day of last season earlier this year in early June. Of course, that was a very different team and a very different coach. I was there then in attendance, and PSG was leading then 2-0, only to be beaten 2-3. Clermont was fighting very hard then, as they were now, and their former PSG youth player Moritz Diaw was stopping the attempts as they were coming. He's a great goalkeeper. I really like him. PSG did have many chances in this match, some of them not far off the mark, but of course there was also danger in our goal line, and you have to give credit to Donnarumma, who also had a very good afternoon in our goal. Actually, both goalkeepers were very solid in this match. It was back and forth, end-to-end kind of football, and we really are paying the price, like said, for not having our usual midfield, which tends to stop many of the opponent's attempts before they even get any closer to our goal. But today, especially in the first half, it was fairly easy for them to run through almost uninterrupted. The pathway was very clear, and that wasn't great. We still have this issue in this team, even with better depth that we have already this year, that when we want to give our key players a breather, it just shows too much on the pitch. the goal attempts weren't very clinical. A little bit of a bad luck also involved. While Clermont had almost all players in the box, there were just too many attempts to get that final little pass inside it, or even few of them, quite often until one of their defenders got in between. This was a very physical match with a lot of frustration. Many times after the situation, a sort of contact or a tackle, there was some after effects of kicking and pulling, which happens. But the conditions were pretty raw, and it didn't help the atmosphere at all that the whole long end of the stadium was without the stand. And on TV, we were just watching a construction site on the background. But of course, that's just aesthetics, and those are the same for everyone. This is what Luis Enrique said after the match to Prime Video.
Yeah, I feel sorry because it was a very competitive match.
Parce que c'était un match
difficult
competitive.
One. We knew
difficile,
that
on savait
before the match, but
avant le match, mais
I think we created
je pense qu'on a créé
more chances than the
plus d'occasions que Clermont.
And we could win this match. I'm happy with the performance of the players.
Je suis content de la performance des joueurs.
We could be more
en première,
aggressive,
on aurait pu être plus agressif.
But I don't know if you feel how
pas.
The ball was going bound and bound like
et
a rabbit.
Quand vous voyez comment le ballon
it
part d'un côté à l'autre, c'était
play,
dur sur ce terrain de jouer.
In
il rebondissait beaucoup
way,
le ballon. D'une façon offensive,
was,
je pense que c'était
hard condition for us.
The ball was going bound. And it was going bound. The pitch wasn't in a great shape, but no injuries were sustained, and the pitch is the same for everyone also, of course, even if some may be more used to it. Perhaps our new training center should have one proper potato field type of pitch just to prepare for these matches and not to lose the touch with those realities. But all that said, we could have won this match. We should have won this match, but we did not win this match. And truth to be told, Clermont could have also won this match. These things happen. We won't be reminiscing this too far into the future, this match. But it has now been played, and Clermont doubled their total points for this campaign with 0-0 draw against us. Now they have 2 points, but we're also reasonably well positioned on the table. This was not the end of the world. And as soon as this match was finished, it was time for all of us to start thinking about the midweek trip to Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England to St. James's Park, where Newcastle United will play their first home Champions League match in a few decades, and where they, by the way, last week beat Manchester City. This will be their third home match on the trot, so it won't be easy, but we know that Ligue 1 matches and Champions League nights don't really have all that much in common. There's no need to read too much into this Clermont situation as far as the next match goes. To quote Manuel Ugarte from his recent interview for PSG Club Media, when we have the ball, it's a game. When we don't, it's a fight. And that's the spirit to take on board on this trip. Nuno Mendes has now had his surgery in Turku, Finland. The operation took place on Friday, and the man in charge was orthopedic surgeon Lasse Lempäinen, who, by the way, does approximately 350 of these surgeries a year. That's average almost one a day, on top of researching in the field of orthopedics and sports medicine, especially in hamstring, rectus femoris, and Achilles tendon injuries and disorders. That's what the bio on the hospital website tells us. His previous patients include Nordimu Kiele earlier this year, Alessandro Florenzi, remember him, Sergi Roberto, Ronald Araujo, and Usman Dembele, and in the same town in Turku, but in a different facility and by a different surgeon. David Beckham also got his ACL fixed in 2010, so this place is known for its expertise. Mens had his operation for his right hamstring after he had had a relapse last summer, but now we are wishing him quick recovery. 4 months has been the estimation, but you never know these things, especially since Nuno's issues really started when he was pushing himself to be ready for last year's World Cup. And in hindsight, it's easy to say that that was a mistake, but what can you do now? I guess avoid repeating the same mistake again. Keylor Navas also suffering from some lower back pain, and Marco Asensio continues his recovery. It had been said that he could be back after the next international break, but we are only 2 matches away from that, so we shall see. And Presnel Kimpembe continues his rehabilitation work. He's practicing with the ball now, which is one of those steps that the players take on their way to getting back to training and eventually playing with the team. He's not there yet, but working towards it. His return date is estimated to be around late November or early December. Other players missing a match in near future might be Randal Kolo Muani, Ashraf Hakimi, Ousmane Dembele and Leivin Kurzawa, who could receive one match suspension from the disciplinary committee of LFP after they were partaking in the not-so-flattering songs about Marseille after Le Classique. It's not an ideal situation, but also it feels like very much again PSG is used as an example, as if it was the only club in France with this type of thing. And perhaps the silver lining that we should look into is that this is how invested the players are to the project, and they lost themselves in the communion with the fans, which in and of itself is a beautiful thing, especially showing to what extent the new French players, Dembele and Kolo Muani, feel for this club. But these are also key players, so it won't help us in the match where we don't have them if indeed this suspension is given. It also seems likely that the Auteuil stand will be closed for a game. The disciplinary committee will talk about all this on October 5th, which is next Thursday, and then we will find out the result. And if there is a suspension, will it be for the Rennes match following Sunday night or possibly against Strasbourg after the international break at Parc des Princes? We will find out all of that in due time, but fortunately we have some options now, like Mukiele, he's back, Bakola and Ramos, so it's not all doom and gloom, even if the suspensions would become effective. I mentioned Keylor Navas there earlier on the list of injuries, and this is unrelated, I certainly hope so, to his medical situation, but he organized a big barbecue party this week. The whole team was not just invited, but everyone also came through, and this really is manna from heaven, because we know to what extent the team spirit is a key. It reminds me of a specific instance from the early 2020, before the corona restrictions had been ordered. PSG had lost the first round of Champions League knockouts to Borussia Dortmund at the Signal Iduna Park, and in that light it felt at the time a little bit questionable to see the images and videos from the party that was organized to celebrate the birthdays of Angel Di Maria, Edinson Cavani and Mauro Icardi. These players really went all in with the party, and we saw them singing and dancing with their tops off, and it's part of PSG folklore that Keylor Navas, three times Champions League winner mind you, had said during this event, "This is how you win Champions League." And I'm not saying that it was because of this get together, that would be stretching it a lot, but that season we were in the final. The team spirit was at its height, and we got closer to this elusive honor than what we have ever been. So in that light, it's a great initiative from one of the few remaining elders of this group. A little bit of a storm in a teacup, which is something we see far too often around our club, but the managing sport director of RB Leipzig, Max Eberl, had been waxing lyrical about Xavi Simons, saying that he got off to a good start and he's currently in a very good run. "I think we are currently tying him emotionally to RB Leipzig. We are trying to ensure that he stays with us longer than the summer of 2024. That's a quote according to the Kicker, and this has been rumored to not please PSG president Nasser Al-Khelaifi for obvious reasons, but there's no clause for Leipzig to buy Simons, so it all seems a bit pointless. Xavi himself speaks like a politician, and he said that you can't predict anything in football. No one knows what's going to happen in a few months. He said he already feels at home and enjoys his time playing for Leipzig, where he wants to be successful and make his mark on the club," which is pretty standard diplomatic answer to appease everyone without saying much. I feel like this guy is media trained to the brim, and of course he wants to do well and have success for the club he plays for now, but nothing there suggests that he would continue beyond the loan deal. And quite frankly, if last spring PSG had very little power over his future, now our club is very much on a driver's seat, so no need to stress about this. And then what happened? A few days after these comments on Friday, Max Eberl no longer works for RB Leipzig. These things may be entirely unconnected. I genuinely don't know, but what I do know is that life moves fast in football. Nasser Al-Khelaifi was also attending the ECA board meeting in Warsaw in Poland this week. He is the chairman of the European Club Association. That's what ECA is short for, which according to itself is the sole independent body directly representing football clubs across Europe. During this event, he had given a short interview to Polish media platform Mekchiki, and he was asked about the future of Kylian Mbappe.
Kylian is Paris Saint-Germain player, and he loves the club. He's a fantastic player. He's the best player in the world, and we're very happy to have him, and we will have him.
We are very happy to have him, and we will have him. Not a great departure from what he has been saying for some years now, and the subject is one that we have been dedicating much time pondering over. I guess it's safe to say that the intentions are what they have been, but essentially there's nothing yet to report, and considering how close to the chest the previous extension was kept, this was never going to be the way to announce a new one, which, by the way, was also preempted by the journalist in question when he was asking this from Nasser Al-Khelaifi. How far or close are we from the extension with Mbappe? No one knows. But another French super talent, who reportedly is not very far from signing new contract with us, is Warren Zaïre-Emery. There aren't any details, of course, not even really a speculation on the duration of the extension, but there seems to be a sort of willing buyer, willing seller in terms of PSG wants him in long term and Zaïre-Emery wants to stay for long term. So you'd imagine that a deal can be made, and that, of course, is just great. PSG women are having potentially season-defining match on Sunday night at Parc des Princes against Olympique Lyonnais, the nemesis. And the coach just stepped down the other day. This is what happens sometimes with our women's team. Things like this. The situation is a little bit up in the air. But what we do know, of course, is that it is the son of the former coach, Gerard Brasher, Jocelyn, who's taken over the managing duties from his previous assistant role. Reportedly, he's well-liked by the squad, and he also grew up as a PSG supporter, so that's always nice. Mind you, many people would love to see Bernard Mendy to return to this spot after having been assistant for some years and a brief spell as the head coach standing for the few last matches of the season 2 years ago. So the shadow of one of our favorite PSG right-backs is always present when we talk about the coach of our women. Section, and I hope all the best to Brasher, of course, but one day, Bernard, one day you will come and guide us to the glory, and it will be well deserved, but the time is not now. The reason why this change for now is quite interesting is that we don't really know what the vision of the new coach is for this team. Did he agree with his dad's ideas, or does he want to change things around? A breath of fresh air could be used, I'll give you that, but basically how PSG comes to play against Lyon is still a little bit of a mystery. Of course, there's every chance that the system won't change entirely or even at all, but he could also use this outward uncertainty to his advantage and surprise OL with something different. In an interview he gave this week, he indicated that there will be new ideas, but what the time frame for their implementation is, of course, that's not yet clear. We have new Malawian forward in the team, Tapita Chawinga, possibly making her debut in our shirt. Danish Amalie Vangsgaard has been great for her national team. She's a striker who has scored many goals for the national team recently, but Gerard Brasher used her lately as a makeshift right back, which didn't work out very well at all. And also not a huge surprise that it didn't. Jocelyn Brasher said that Marie-Antoinette Katoto isn't yet fully back. I mean, she's back. She might play, and she already did play during the match day one, but she might not have 90 minutes in her yet, because she has been away for over 1 year, so of course that's a huge injury to recover from, but she's well on her way, and she, you know, she will probably play a little bit at least, but how many minutes, that we don't know. And personally, I'd be open to seeing us playing with two sort of strikers and more of a playmaking number 10, because we have players for that role, and one of the tasks for Jay Brasher is to get better out of Lieke Martens, who hasn't yet met the expectations in Paris after one full season. Of course, we also have other options for that role that could be used. Jean de Baltimore, Ramona Bachmann, or even Corbin Albert, the former Notre Dame player in the US. She has been criminally underutilized by PSG. She's more of a midfielder, but would be interesting to see her in that number 10 role also. Perhaps not straight away, but I think this is one option to explore. The PSG midfield is pretty strong with players like our captain, and I'd say the best player of the team, Kraski Oro. Whatever is needed, she can deliver. She's really one of those players. A small, not too serious injury during the international break for her, but she should be more or less available against Lyon. We also have Jackie Kroonen. Apparently, there was also some minor ache she was going through after the international break, but hopefully she's able to start. There are also Oriane Jean-Francois, Larina Fassé, and Anna Vittoria. Pretty good options, in my opinion, for midfield, certainly compared to the defense, which is the biggest question mark. Australian Claire Hunt was signed. She's a very exciting prospect for our defense, one of those players who you really need, a kind of like a proper center back, but she's not going to be part of this match yet. We haven't really seen images of her in a training too much. That's all we have to go for. But apparently she's recovering from something knee related, and just before recording I saw her running individually at Parc des Princes in preparation for this upcoming match, but she isn't going to be part of it. There was a picture online of her there. Nevertheless, Viola Galigaris is another new defender, a Swiss defender. She has been having some injury issues also, but she's part of the squad for this match, so we will see if she's going to play or not. Paulina Dudek, of course, is injured long term, so the centre back pairing will most likely be French national team player Elisa de Almeida and somebody else. One of the clear starters and the stars for this team is our left back Sakina Karshawi, and our academy graduate Jade Leguille might be either the second centre back or right back. In goal, we might have the more experienced Katarzyna Kierczynek or French national team keeper Constance Picot. Both of them are solid, but not world class in any way. And I say that with a lot of love for both of them. They're just not on that level. But they could keep the good keepers, but they're not on that level. We will see how Jocelyn Prechere will choose to line up the team. Is it more of the same, or will he outdo his dad? I certainly hope so. If you are in Paris, why not go to Parc des Princes to support them? And for the rest of us, we support from afar, because this truly is an important match. Finally, Li Kang-in wasn't part of the PSG squad against Clermont, and there's a very good reason for that, as he is currently on international duty in the Asian Games. I have talked about this during the summer, but quick recap is that for South Korean men, winning a gold medal in the Asian Games or Olympic Games is a way to get an exemption from the compulsory military service. Not entirely, but it becomes something of a symbolic service, which doesn't take too much of the time. Because military service is compulsory for men in South Korea, with almost all able-bodied persons required to serve in the army for 18 months by the age of 28. So that is 1.5 years. For an athlete, that's quite a distraction from their career just when it's at its most important phase. So it's in the interest of the player and the club that he gives his best shot. And as things stand, Lee Kang-in and South Korea are playing in the quarterfinals against China on Sunday, which is tomorrow as I record. Wishing him best of luck there, and may he complete his mission, which I'm sure is a mission to all members of that squad, and we will see how it goes. They will have a reasonable chance from what I gather, but we all know that winning isn't easy, not even if you'd be the favorite to do so. That is all for now. Thank you so much for listening, and feel free to follow me online on Twitter, as I insist on calling it. You can find me at PSG Review Pod, and on Instagram, the show is simply at PSG Review. Rate, subscribe, and write a review. Listen, recommend whatever suits you the best. We have a big week ahead. Like said, the women will be playing Lyon in potentially season-defining matchup at Parc des Princes on Sunday night. Men's team are going to Newcastle, which is not an easy stadium to come back with all the points. And then next weekend, there's Rennes match, so a lot to play for, but we are here for that. Until next time, take care. Peace.